Hello, my fellow seekers. Suddenly Seeking Spirit is a podcast that is intended to educate, inspire, and entertain you on your personal journey toward health and happiness. The information, advice, and opinions expressed are of our own and not intended to replace care best provided by qualified professionals, and it is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the Suddenly Seeking Spirit podcast. I'm Andrea, and today we have a special guest co-host with us, Betty. Hi, Betty.
Hello. Grateful to be here.
It's so awesome to be here. And if you guys want to hear more about Betty, she was in a podcast episode. It was like quite a while ago now about addiction. So yeah, check that episode out. today we're talking about spiritual growth spurts. So Betty, have you had any experience with the spiritual growth spurt in your life?
I have had major spiritual growth spurts. I basically went from like a spiritual embryo to like a spiritual sage, right? Like just a wise adult man. That's like how I picture the spiritual version of myself. I had a spontaneous Kundalini awakening in March of 2019. I went from being a militant atheist, a drug addict, a sex worker, to having my whole life transformed and put onto a spiritual path. In my awakening, I was downloaded with so much information. I was transported to the space between life and eternity, the space that people who have near-death experiences describe. And my whole life was just completely turned upside down, a complete 180. I entered recovery shortly after that awakening. I spent 17 months in a long-term rehab because my whole life was just immersed in debauchery and drugs and hedonism. And my life is just not like that anymore. I definitely like hone my spiritual development. I study lots of spiritual texts. I'm a student of A Course in Miracles. And I'm very well versed in these growth spurts.
There you go. So me too. I didn't have the death experience, but I had sort of a bottoming out. I've had many bottoming outs, like different levels of bottoming out, you know, like, for me, I would think I had hit bottom and then, oh, no, I hit another one.
me too.
Yeah. So I found, I was like, I always research things on the interweb because, you know, then it's true.
right. Some validation.
Yeah. So I Googled spiritual growth spurt to see who else has had one. And I only found one thing. It was livingbydesign.org. There were other things too, but this is the only one that it describes symptoms like before a spiritual growth spurt, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. And the first symptom was overwhelming fatigue. Can you relate to that?
Yeah, definitely. I can and I can't. Okay. Because at the time of my spiritual awakening, I was like a ruthless meth head. Mm. So sleeping wasn't really part of my picture.
Right.
Fatigue wasn't really a thing because I was constantly stimulated with amphetamines. But I would go through like these, I would sleep for like 20 hours and I would get woken up at the time intervals that my guides were trying, you know, I would wake up every night at 2:22. Oh. And I would wake up again at 3:33. And, I did go through long bouts of fatigue for sure. Mm.
Yeah, me too. I had more like emotional fatigue, I'd say, you know, where I was just sick of being sick. Mm. And still couldn't get out of it. You know, when you get to the end of whatever thing outside yourself that you're using to cope and you hate it, but you keep doing it because you don't know what else to do. So I remember feeling like that, just sick of it all and not being able to stop doing what I was doing. So that was the first sign of my, that I knew I had to change, but I didn't know how I was going to, basically. Then it says pain is another, that's pretty obvious. Pain is a symptom. And I was thinking about this, different spiritual growth spurts I've had. I'm going to go through the archetype stages too, because I thought that was interesting. But I actually had a lot of physical pain at one point in my life. When I was about 33 years old, I got really, really sick. And I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And like, it was a very spiritual experience because I had to really make a change, you know. Otherwise, I could have, like I couldn't move at that point. My phone keeps going to sleep. Stop it. Anyway, so I'm going to relate this back. I'm going to talk about the archetypes for a second because it kind of goes with the pain part. Can you relate to that? Like any kind of physical pain that you had?
Yeah, well, I most certainly was in a lot of emotional pain. That's what I first thought when you said it. But I did actually go through spurts of physical pain. It was as if my chakras were, and like I didn't know what chakras were at that time. I was like completely like unaware. And yeah. In hindsight, though, I can see that my chakras were like beginning to turn on. And oh man, the pain, like in my tummy, like in my solar plexus, which is like your chakra of your will, because I was being forced to surrender my will.
Yeah.
And oh man, I went to the hospital. I was like in so much, I just didn't know what was going on, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Maybe before I go into the archetypes, I'll just say what the last symptom was. It's called increased hunger to learn.
Oh my God.
Right?
I had the most insatiable thirst for knowledge. It was insane. I still have it, you know, like I really do. But I was so unaware that I knew that I had a whole universe of information that was waiting for me. That one I definitely, definitely identify with.
Yeah. Yeah. For me too, like when I finally went from, I guess, unconsciousness to consciousness, like for me, spiritual awakening is literally awakening, you know, to the world around me, even just noticing other people. Like it's pretty literal for me. So I found, to relate to the, symptoms, Carl Jung and his archetypes stages of life. So if you guys don't know who Carl Jung is, I kind of knew who he was, but I found my old psychology textbook from university and I looked him up. So this is real legit.
I am obsessed with Carl Jung. People ask like if there was one famous person alive or dead that you could have dinner with, who would it be? Carl Jung is always my answer.
There you go. Okay, good. So you can attest to this. So Carl Jung was a student of Sigmund Freud, but he kind of debunked Freud with, because Freud was all about the sex. And I found that he was talking about, so the libido was not sexual energy, but actually a creative force propelling personal growth. I loved that part.
Yeah.
And because for a long time, growing up for me. So this kind of goes back to the archetypes. When you think about spiritual growth spurts, even when you're unconscious of spirituality, really, you still are, your higher power, I believe, is still looking out for you. So the first archetype is the athlete. And the athlete is, I kind of relate this to puberty. You know, you're a teenager and you're you're trying to, you know, just figure out who you are in life. And some people don't transcend this. And I know for me, I didn't really transcend this until I got into recovery, where you're preoccupied with the body and looks. And it says, how will I perform? How strong am I? How do I look? And you evaluate yourself. So you're basically, you're your body. And you relate to everything with your body. So this kind of goes back to when I was talking about when I got sick. Like all of a sudden, I couldn't walk. I was told that I would had to use a walker for the rest of my life. And I had to really adapt to my new body suddenly. And I think this was the beginning of my spiritual awakening before I even realized it. Because I had to realize, really, to not be in depression about having RA, that I wasn't just my body, you know? I'm more than that.
Wow.
Yeah. And now that I'm more conscious than I used to be, when I start getting like a flare-up from my arthritis, I know that I'm off. You know, like I know I'm not spiritually aligned.
Wow. That's kind of amazing, though, that like you have this this physical marker to let you know when you're out of alignment. You know, That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I think a little piece of beauty will come.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think a lot of people probably have that and don't realize it. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, that's kind of like a beautiful spin on something that other people would perceive as like a negative experience. You know, is that you've been able to take sort of a situation that people would perceive as something devastating or, you know, life damaging, and just sort of affirm it to a spiritual experience. You know, like this is, that's a beautiful gift. That's awareness. That's awakening.
Yeah. And I think that, like, looking back, like a lot of my spiritual awakening is looking back at my past and my old stories of victimhood. And rewriting that story, you know, so that I'm not the victim and I see where my higher power helped me. And before I got sick, I was just running. And I was super mom and super wife and super employee and, you know, trying so hard to be the best at everything. So, and then I think spirit just, you know, put me down. Stop it. You need to make a change, lady.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I spent a lot of time in bed just thinking about these things because I couldn't get out of bed. So you're kind of forced when you get sick. That's what I was going to say. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I actually disagree with you. I don't think that you're forced to think about anything. Lots of people would just take that experience and completely wallow in their self-pity and depression and their victimization.
Right.
You took it as an opportunity to think about how you can transform this into being a survivor. And that is so beautiful. Yeah. I'm so grateful to be friends with somebody who's able to do that.
Well, let me tell you, at the time I wasn't. Right. I wasn't. But I
definitely identify with that. That's beautiful. That's what it's all about, right? It's like recognizing how far we've come, how much we've grown. For me, like my idea of being a victim, which is something that society does to all of us, right? Like, especially like with this newer generation, I feel like they've really glamorized victimization. Like it's very glamorous to be a victim. People wear their victimhood on their sleeves and they want to be defined by it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's transforming, but I do think that we've been sort of in that mindset for a long time. For me, with my victimizing myself, this is my first time in my life where I see myself as a survivor. Mm. You know, like I see myself as a confident survivor, and I see how that scale can actually tip into self-righteousness because it happens to me all the time, right?
Yeah.
I become this self-righteous version of myself because I feel powerful. I feel like I'm right and that everyone else should be thinking the way that I'm thinking. I'm not giving anybody else an opportunity to come to their own awareness of survivorhood or like triumph, you know, because I'm trying to open up their brains and stick it inside.
It's that old attraction, not promotion.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. That actually is a good segue, Betty. Thank you for mentioning that. The next archetype is warrior.
Nice.
Wow. And that definitely, I fall into that too. And warrior is going out and conquering the world, being the best. And if you think about, like, for ages, just a regular typical person, sometimes the warrior could be, you know, people in their 20s and early 30s trying to, you know, go to university and get, you know, all the things. And, you know, you want the house and the stuff and the dog and the, you know, the kids and the perfect life. I don't know if people are much like that anymore, but that's how I was at that age. Just wanting to be the best at everything. And how can I get more? And constantly comparing myself to others.
Yeah.
And for being sort of a survivor and going into that self-righteous stuff, that definitely, I would say, falls into this archetype as well. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would. I think that, you know, it's interesting, this interpretation of the archetypes, I was reading about it.
Yeah.
And I've never heard them described this way.
Oh.
But I it's all sort of correlated in like the same sort of thing. And yes, this like rising into something, you know, like the whole idea of the archetypes is to get back to self, meaning mm-hmm. like your higher self with a capital S, right? Like
yeah.
the truest spiritual version of yourself. And so
right.
you have to go through all of these phases of human development
mm-hmm.
And almost like human de-evolvement to have
right.
your spirit rise into its actual evolvement.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's, you know, it's funny, like we're talking about our own stories. We're talking about how we have transformed into these different levels of archetype, like just our stories that we've just shared
mm-hmm.
are proof that archetypes actually do exist.
Yeah. You know?
Which gives me such a great sense of freedom, because there's an outline to this madness, to this
yeah.
illusion. There's an outline to it. Like all I have to do is just relax and let go, which is like the most difficult. I perceive so much difficulty with it at times,
mm-hmm.
you know, just relax and let go. Obviously there's a design to this, like, you know, just the fact that like I'm a person in recovery now, and I used
yeah.
to be like, you know, a garbage head, is just complete proof that there's some other sort of design.
Yeah, definitely. And that was the thing, if you guys don't know about the collective unconscious, that's basically what that is it's, I'll just read this. It says, there exists a second psychic system of a collective, universal and impersonal nature that is identical in all individuals. It is inherited rather than developed. So that's just like, so we all
yes.
have these parts of ourselves. So, you know, if you're listening and you're like, oh, damn, I really identify with the body. Yeah, me too sometimes. 46.
Definitely.
I see things falling.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Hilarious.
We all like shift, you know, and it depends on the day and what's happening and how awake we are that day. You know, I have moments where I'm not feeling spiritual and I'm not feeling aligned, but thank God I have people in my life like Betty and Andrew, where I can share, you know, what's going on with me. And then, you know, they help remind me that, no, you're okay, Andrea, you're going to be okay. You can shift back.
Yeah.
You know,
I struggle with the same thing, you know, like, and then I sort of give myself permission. I'm like, well, it's part of the human experience to like perceive suffering and like to hate myself, you know? And I know that it's not my divine self, you know, like I
yeah.
know that in the moments when I'm so wrapped up in my ego storyline, when I'm so wrapped up in my human, that my spirit is crying, you know, like my spirit, I mean, I don't really perceive my higher self as crying, but like just patiently waiting, like,
yeah.
okay, she's taking a wrong turn. We're just going to chill out and wait and it'll end when it ends. And you know,
yeah. yeah. Oh, well that kind of goes into, I love how you're providing segues. the third archetype is the statesman, but I'm going to say statesperson because it's 2021.
Hilarious.
And this is where we make a major shift. And I think this is what happens when we enter recovery. For those of you that are listening to us who are in recovery, I think a lot of our listeners are. But we basically, we realize that, you know, all the things that we've tried to accomplish through our body, through our achievements, all of that, it's not fulfilling us. It's not filling that void, you know? And so we start looking for ways to be happy by making a difference in the world. And for me, I always think, like, when I'm definitely in this archetype a lot. And because I'm a mother of a 20-year-old, I want to make the world a better place for him, you know, for when I leave. So that really is a motivator for me. And I think a lot of people, so I always relate this statesperson to like people in your 40s. It seems to be, or late 30s, or early 40s, you start to move into this. Not everybody, again. Some people are stuck in warrior. I know lots of people stuck in warrior. And athlete, which is fine. It's fine. Those people probably aren't listening to this podcast, so it's fine. Sorry. Anyway, the statesman, you want to make a difference in the world, and you're asking, like, how may I serve? You ask the universe that. And you're searching for meaning. You realize what you used to chase until now, it's still all those things that you actually used to chase. They're still in your life, but you're not as focused on them. You're not as focused on the outcome. And I find the more I am not focused on the outcome and I'm more focused on serving others, I get more of those material things. Do you find that too? Yeah. Like it's weird.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's redemption, grace, generosity, and forgiveness replace the old need for competition.
Wow. So, yeah. That shift from competition to collaboration, that has been the most epic shift in my life. I did not know that collaboration existed. I did not know that people empower and encourage each other. Mm-hmm. You know, like the world that I was perceiving was in these previous archetypes. And like I said, like they're described many different ways. Like Carl Jung also describes this as like being in your masks and being in your shadow and things like that before you rise into like this sort of the anima and the animus, the feminine and masculine energies. That's like this phase, you know, like coming together not only with the collective, but within yourself, having your own energies sort of balance out and collaborate with each other to encourage yourself, you know, on top of everything else. And when I was in the previous archetypes, and you know, it's a constant evolvement. There's pieces there's pieces of me that are still stuck in the beginning archetype.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's not like all of me is transformed. I think that once I am all the way transformed, I will just ascend out of this body. But like, that's my hope anyway, my belief.
Yeah.
But you know, like the pieces of me that are still stuck in sort of being concerned with society. When I was really immersed in that life and I had zero awareness of anything, my whole world was just consumed by more of that because I was only perceiving what was going on inside of me. So I was only surrounded by other people that were wearing masks, you know, that like that were in their shadow, that were despising their human experience, that were living in lack mentality, like just low vibrational energy of grief and fear and anger, and that those were the people that I was surrounded with because that's what was going on inside of me. And now that I've sort of risen into some awareness, I find myself chatting with other spiritual people that are on a healing journey, and that's such a beautiful gift. You know, I find myself empowering others and others empowering me. And it's nothing that I ever knew the human experience could be like.
Yeah. And I find in this archetype, that's when you start really noticing miracles, which is basically what you're describing. And I was thinking about as you were talking how you and I met, it was so random, but it was definitely our higher power that he was doing a Instagram live. And I don't even know how I came across you because I don't think we were following each other.
Totally amazing.
It was so amazing. Anyway, so yeah, during this pandemic, I've made quite a few connections on Instagram, which I never thought was possible before. So there you go. So as we move from the States person to the next one is spirit. So I love this one. This is where I think we sometimes, well, for me, I realize this, but yeah, like we've said before, I forget. But in the spirit archetype, we realize that none of the first three stages are who we actually are. We are more than our body. And I always think about the Course in Miracles quote, "I am not a body, I am free." I love that. Mm-hmm. I remember when I said that, I was a wellness coach for 15 years and I used to do these group coaching sessions, but they were all very practical. And I remember one time writing on the whiteboard, "I am not a body, I am free." And I looked at everybody and I thought it looked like I blew their heads off. It's pretty funny. And I'm like, okay, you guys aren't ready for this. Let me just wipe this off.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, we realize in this archetype that we are divine beings having a human experience in this world, but not of this world. We become the observer of our lives. And I found an Albert Einstein quote for this one. "I want to know what God thinks. The rest are details." I love it. And I know for you that you were kind of thrust into this spiritual archetype with your near-death experience, right?
Yeah. I didn't know anything about spirituality, you know. I didn't know that source existed, which is what I choose to call God, the source of energy that we come from. You know, it's not like a gender or a being. It's just like this. It's infinity. It's an all-encompassing, effervescent ball of energy, of light. Mm. And I choose to call it source. But when I was confronted with the fact that source exists, that I'm a piece of source energy, and that I'm just here to, like, observe an experience, my spirit became fully aware, right? Completely lit up, turned on codes of DNA that have been dormant for eons all of a sudden had awoken, but my human has a bunch of conditioning that still exists inside of it. And so now I find that my experience is unraveling these strands of conditioning and sort of trying to come out of a tangled ball of mess. It's just like, I envision like the most entangled spool of thread. You know, like it's in just a box of a bunch of other spools of thread, and it's just completely impossible to untangle these, you know, and some of them just need to be cut and just some of them need to be thrown away.
Right.
And I'll be left with the ones that are still intact and meant to be. But that's what my experience has been now, has been just attempting. No, I don't want to say attempting because like I'm doing it, but like,
yeah,
I'm observing my experience. Sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes I don't want to observe. Sometimes I want to be like in the thick of something dramatic. I'm like, absolutely, let me experience this emotion, you know, like let me experience something fiery, something angry, something laugh. Like, let me just be miserable for a moment, you know, but like, it's not really not worth it.
No. I think so too. Like lately I've been trying to do old behaviors. But it's not working because I'm now aware. That sucks, right? It's just not fun. Yeah. And I think that I'm actually in the middle of a spiritual growth spurt. So that's why I thought, let's talk about this. Because I've been, you know, like I recently lost my job that I had for 15 years. And I didn't realize how much I identified myself through that job. You know, I thought that I was transcended. But no. And I kind of went through like all these archetypes and it's sometimes a lot, but now that I have like this conscious contact with my higher power, I know that I'm going to get through it now. So even when I revert or try to revert, I can move past it because I know I'm okay and I'm not alone. So yeah, like we're not alone. I guess that's our my big message for this whole topic.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I think that in these growth spurts, things start to fade away that we are attached to mm-hmm. to make room for something bigger, for something better.
Yeah.
Or something that we can perceive as better. But like we don't even, I know that for me, I have hung on to things until they suffocated to death. Because yeah. I was just so convinced that they were meant to be part of my experience and just source just doesn't know.
Yeah.
Source doesn't know that like this is supposed to be part of my experience. And I have clung on for dear life until I finally am forced to surrender. Mm-hmm. And when you're forced into the growth, it's uncomfortable. I want to be ahead of it. You know, like
yeah.
at this point, I'm at the point where like, I know that the growth happens no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I would like to be conscious and aware and in alignment with the growth instead of having it bonked on my head and like cracked open into me, you know?
Yeah.
It's not pleasant.
That's why Andrew and I started doing this regularly every week. And we didn't have accountability on when we recorded our podcast because we did it, you know, not live in front of people. But I find that showing up here every Sunday at 10 a.m. is helping us stay connected to our source, our, you know. Yeah, because like then it's only a week goes by and then we have to talk about spirituality.
That's really bringing manifesting into reality. And that is such a beautiful, beautiful gift. I'm so grateful that I get to be a part of it.
Yeah. So
to watch you guys, it's amazing.
We are happy to have you. So for those of you listening and watching, thanks for watching, by the way. Betty's going to be with us as co-host every month, once a month. And maybe sometimes if I'm not, you can do it with Andrew. Nice. I'll let you know. So it's the Suddenly Seeking Spirit with Andrew, Andrea, and Betty.
Hilarious.
It's alphabetical.
Right.
Yeah. So it's exciting because we've been doing this now. I don't know. I think we started it in 2017. So
wow.
Yeah, if anybody wants to see our very first episode, it's on YouTube. We call it The Vault. And Andrew and I are actually sitting in the same room and we filmed it. So it was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have any last words about a spiritual growth spurt that you want to leave the audience with?
I will say this about spiritual growth spurts. They are inevitable. Inevitable. Yeah. Okay. They will happen to every single conscious living being. That we will go through an involvement into our spiritual selves. We can cling on to our human experience as tightly as we want to, but eventually we will all get to the point where awakening is inevitable. And the collective is in the middle of a giant shift right now. And I think that by exactly what you and Andrew are doing, by putting the information out there, by letting people know that there's nothing to be scared of when it comes to spirituality, because we've already been scared enough for you. We've hit bottom for you. There's no need for you to, you know.
Yeah.
Your journey is your journey, though. But, yeah. You know, like this information is available. And the people that are, you know, the people that hear it, the people that come into the lives, the people that listen to your podcast, they're meant to hear it. You know, like everything is happening for a specific and direct purpose. And, you know, like this right now for me feels like a huge spiritual growth spurt. Like I'm doing something that I love. I'm doing it with somebody that I love. I get to like enjoy having a conscious conversation and sharing it with other people. And that's such a gift. It's just nothing like my life was like before. And when I just sort of give myself an opportunity to notice how much I've grown from like a baby into a toddler, like I want to think that I'm some sort of like, you know, learned person, but I'm not. I'm still just like a spiritual toddler. I've only been in awareness for the last couple of years. And man, it's just such a beautiful gift. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, thank you for being here. Don't worry, we have a disclaimer at the beginning of every podcast episode that those are just our opinions. So really, you can do what you want. It's always good to have a disclaimer. Anyway, and we like to use the interweb, so, you know, as reference, because that's fun sometimes. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Betty, for joining me. And I look forward to next month when you join me again. I don't know what the topic will be. But if you guys listening want to reach out and let us know any topics that you're interested in hearing more about. And also, you can find our older episodes on all podcast platforms, Suddenly Seeking Spirit. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can contact us through Instagram or email us at suddenlyseekingspirit@gmail.com. And we look forward to hearing from you. So thank you, Betty. Thank you guys that watched live. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Till next time, what has you seeking spirit?